John chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. It's on page 967 of the Church Bible, and you can follow the word as well. Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went up to him from Jerusalem, all Judea, the whole region of Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire."
Glad to be back in the pulpit again. I was just noting that the last time I preached was the 19th of September. And I thank the church for the patience that you have shown during that time. We trust that God will help us as we turn back to minister his word. Now, the first Sunday of a new year, I think, is a good time for us to take stock and make any necessary changes that we might decide have to be made. Many people have New Year's resolutions, and the first Sunday in a new year is a good time to choose to walk in newness of life. That very thing that we covenanted to do when we were baptized. And because of the pandemic, many people across the world are deciding which things are the most important in our lives. And by far the most important and precious things in our lives are spiritual things. Things that relate to God. Things that relate to salvation. And things that relate to eternity. Probably like never before, we have to face the idea of our possible death. But when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, Jesus Christ becomes the most important person in our lives. That kind of new realization, of course, is better beginning in the hearts of people who profess Christ and allow that to spread out to others. So the question that we want to ask is this: how precious is Christ to me? How dear is Christ to me? There's absolutely no doubt that Christ is precious in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. At the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus heard the voice of his Father from heaven declare this. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." God, our Heavenly Father, loved his Son and was pleased with everything that the Son was doing. What would be good for us all in this new year is to attempt to improve our own personal estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ. to improve in our living out of the new creation in our lives. And as John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can listen to John's ministry and use the ministry of John the Baptist to prepare our hearts to think more about the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was a signpost. He pointed away from himself and he pointed the people to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 3, we are introduced to the person and the ministry of John the Baptist, the man who was the messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. This new message was the message of the new creation, the ministry of our representative in the new covenant. Matthew introduces the beginning of John's ministry in a very abrupt way. After telling us in chapter 2 of his gospel how the child Jesus and his parents returned to Israel and settled in Nazareth, Matthew then starts in chapter 3 and verse 1 saying, in those days, John the Baptist came. John's ministry was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He came to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy that speaks about the voice of one calling in the wilderness, the voice of one who would prepare the way of the Lord in the desert. He came also in fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy, which says, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And as John lived in the desert of Judea, suddenly the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the word of the Lord came to John. What was God doing? You need to bear in mind that for 400 years before this, that the voice of the Lord had been silent. God had not spoken. And now after 400 years of silence, God was sending a prophet to his people in the person of John. 400 years after the last prophet had spoken, one more time the Spirit of God was active and God was speaking afresh. God was introducing the time of the New Testament. God is always faithful to his covenant, to his promises that he makes. And God still loves and still cares for his people. And in a word of love, in a word of caring, it says, therefore the word of the Lord began to come through John the Baptist, the messenger of the Lord. And multitudes of people went out from Jerusalem and Judea into the desert to hear what he had to say. It's interesting that John is described as just but a voice. Yes, he had a message, but he knew that his purpose was to prepare the human hearts for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. John came to make that way smooth and to remove the obstacles from the hearts of the people of God so that they could receive the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was coming. His message was this: get ready. Prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Repent. Humble yourselves. Forsake your way of sin. Why was this? Because the King was coming. John the Baptist pointed directly to the Messiah and declared, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Messiah had finally come. All the sacrifices of the old covenant, they all pointed forward. And this new covenant day has arrived with the Lamb of God appearing on the banks of the River Jordan. The Lamb of God will finally take away the sin of the world. This is not a replacement of the old covenant. This is a fulfillment of the promises that God had made. The promises that God has made in the Old Testament become yes to us in Jesus Christ. John's message was forthright and challenging because the Spirit of God was upon him. He was inspired and anointed by God to declare the burden of the Lord and prepare that way for him. As the word of God came to this ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, he declared the message to rich, to famous, to the poor, to the powerful, to the high, to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. To all alike, John declared God's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. How did the people relate to John's message? Many were self-righteous and complacent. Many people were offended by John. John's message was not soothing. It cut into the very hearts of many and it shook them up. They were distressed. But this was the word of the Lord to his people for their benefit. At the heart of John's message was the term repent. Confess your sins. Believe in God. Escape the wrath of God or be judged by this coming king. You are full of sin and you have turned away from the Lord. Repent because you have wandered away. You have altogether become filthy. You need to return to the Lord of the covenant. Return to worship and serve him and live once again by his righteous laws. Forsake all idolatries and return to covenant loyalty. You must repent. What does it mean to repent? Repentance is a thoroughly Old Testament as well as a New Testament idea which God's prophets spoke about many times. Repentance means to turn around once for and for all from one's sinful way of life and be radically changed in one's mind, in one's will, and in one's devotions. Repentance means to grieve over one's sins, to forsake evil thoughts and words and behavior, and to think God's thoughts after him, and decide by exercising one's will to follow God in belief as well as in behavior. There must be harmony between confession and conduct. There must be a radical change of mind and heart that leads to a complete turnabout of one's life. And so John refused to baptize anyone without that necessary precondition of genuine repentance. Everyone must repent. Now, repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. And if God, by his Spirit, works in your heart and brings about regeneration, you will repent and believe. That repentance will be a godly repentance, meaning it will result in godliness and in a godly life. If we are to think more highly of the Lord Jesus Christ, then surely this is the way of preparation, to repent of our sins and draw near to God, especially as we face venturing into this new year. John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But we must realize that baptism itself does not bring about the forgiveness of one's sins. John the Baptist would not baptize anyone who would not repent, because baptism is a sign and a seal of an inward reality of a genuine change that God has brought about. John said that not only were Gentiles called to repent and be baptized, but the Jews were also called to repent and to be baptized. And those words were shocking to the Jews. John the Baptist, they said, are you telling us that we are sinners as well? There is no difference. All are sinners and all must repent. All are under God's wrath and have wandered far from God's way. There is no one righteous, no one who understands. In God's eyes, there were no exceptions. All must repent and must do so as soon as possible. This is an urgent matter for our sins to be dealt with. Because Jesus the King was coming to save and he was coming to judge. Remember that verse we quoted where John the Baptist said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Did you ever think what it means for the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world? Surely we know from the Bible and from observation of everyday life that not everyone will have their sins taken away. But the Lamb of God, by virtue of his death upon the cross, has come in salvation and judgment. Those who repent are those who will know Christ as Savior. Those who do not repent will discover that Christ is their judge. And as both Savior and judge, Christ will take away the sin of the world. He will bear the sins of many, and he will judge the sins of many. You see, each of us, whatever religion we're from, or if we're from no religion, each of us will encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, either as Savior or as judge. Whatever your background, whatever nation you are from, whatever your creed, whatever your confession, all will encounter Jesus Christ. At the beginning of the new year, you may be thinking that, well, I have repented already. I have been a Christian for many, many years. And that's all behind me now. But John the Baptist is not finished on this subject of repentance. Those who repented were required to show that their repentance was genuine by their behavior. He told the crowds in verse 8, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." Over the years, I've had opportunity to speak with people who have a lifestyle that is, I would say, unbiblical. And when dealing with some of these folk, they have actually said to me, "When I came to Jesus, he accepted me as I was. Who are you to tell me that my lifestyle is unbiblical?" But you see, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Produce a lifestyle. Produce in thought, in word, and in deed to show that you have genuinely come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, when we come to Christ, we come as we are. He accepts us as we are. But he says to us, "Go your way and sin no more." Now, as Christians, we know that we're not done with sin. Paul spoke of the need to die daily. The Apostle John spoke of the reality of sin in our lives. And every day we slip, we slide, we stumble. And the thought of that really infuriated the Apostle Paul. He said, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death that is subject, from this body that is subject to death? I think every Christian knows that feeling. Why did I do it wrong again? Why did I fail again? Why did I have these thoughts? Why did I say those words? Why did I behave in that particular way? And then the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 and 25, he says, in answer to his own question, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So on the first Sunday of the new year, it is good for us to invest our time in meditating upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us when he died upon the cross, and to bow our heads and humbly say, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. That inner examination that Paul took of his heart revealed all kinds of grievous sins, and it swept away any sense of self-confidence. And then he confesses, my confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My sufficiency is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll not be able to keep any New Year's resolution. I'll not be able to direct my path in the right way in my own strength. But in him who gives me strength, we can face this new year and move forward in confidence that God delivers us through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist condemns the self-confidence of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the rest of the crowd who did not repent and seek forgiveness. What were these people placing their confidence in for salvation? They saw no need to repent because they said, we are children of Abraham and we are proud of it. John says in verse 9, do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. John was aware that these people would reason that because they had physically descended from Abraham, that they would automatically be saved. He knew that they thought that because they had been circumcised, they would not come under God's judgment. He was aware of their belief in the theology of a treasury of merit, their own merit. And so he declares to them, the King is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming to save and he's coming to judge. There's no self-merit either through inheritance or through any act that we may do in the kingdom of God. There is no salvation for any who rest in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was an amazing Christian, but every day he had to turn back to his all-sufficient Savior. It was not good enough that he was used to pen the Scriptures. His sufficiency was in the Lord Jesus Christ. What about our church here in Hounslow West? We feel that we try to be faithful to a clear preaching of God's word. And I believe we have a duty to remain doing that. But we need to be careful in our assessment of ourselves and remain humbly aware that we are nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. God does not need us here to serve as his hands and feet. God can get on with the job of building the kingdom of God without us. But we are privileged and honored and blessed that God uses people like us. He's not in need of us as messengers of the gospel. John the Baptist said to the people who were so proud of their family heritage, he says, I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham. Just as God created Adam out of the dust, he would create children from Abraham out of these stones. God created us out of nothing. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says, therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. However long you've been a Christian, you have to always say, but now, this moment, I am in Christ. I was far away, but I have been brought near, and I am being brought near through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. John was saying that none of us must think too highly of ourselves. God does not depend on any of us. We must humbly repent and continue being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when we pass from this life into eternity, forever through eternity, we will still need the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we will be free from sin, but it will be because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a million years from now, we will still need the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be in His strength that we will enjoy His presence. Sin, of course, comes into our lives. We need to see it that as an emergency situation. Perhaps the sense of a new year heightens the sense of urgency. There's something in our psyche that desires a clean slate. We look back over the failures and the blessings of the past year, and we wish that this new year might be better. Could I grow a little bit more in my faith this year? Could I banish some of those thoughts? Could I repair some of those relationships? At the ending of one year and the beginning of a new year, it turns our minds to thoughts like that. Repentance is a turning away from that which is wrong, and faith is turning towards that which is true and righteous. In repentance, we turn away each day from our sin. And each day in our faith, we turn again to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our salvation. This turning away and turning to is not tomorrow's business. It is the business of today. It is the business of now. There was an urgency in this business of repenting. John warned that the axe was already at the root of the tree. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. God is not pleased with sinners, but yet He holds out to us the offer of salvation. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Can you see how Christ is central there? We believe in the Son. Through Christ we have eternal life. We reject the Son, and we will not see life. and God's wrath remains on us. The just wrath of God abides on all who will not repent. John urged the crowd to repent and to escape the judgment of the coming king. Why? Because the kingdom of God was at hand. It was coming in the form of the king, the Son of God. The kingdom of heaven meant the dynamic rule of God that was about to come in the person of the Messiah, Jesus. Soon the kingdom of heaven in the person of Jesus would proclaim good news to the poor and curses and woes to the arrogant. Soon judgment will be meted out to all who did not repent and prove their repentance by good deeds or good fruit. So John urged the crowd to repent because the kingdom of heaven was coming soon. How can we enter the kingdom of God? Only through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God requires repentance of us, from us. We must listen to John the Baptist. As the last prophet, he introduced us to the Messiah and said, "Look, look at Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." He understood that the basis of forgiveness comes through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon he is coming, and those who do not repent will enter into an eternity of shame and sorrow. John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire." When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our lives, he gives us that ability to live for him. In the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is likened to breath, which gives us life, and to wind, which speaks of a mighty power. He will give us not only life, but the power and the ability to live for him. He has given us everything that we need to live the godly life. And as John prepared the way for the Lord, he called for their repentance. And that is what we must do. In every congregation, there are sinners, saved and unsaved. And we all must repent. The way of drawing closer to Christ is this way of repentance. Sorry that I have never trusted him before. Sorry that I have not served him as I should. Sorry that I have allowed my love for him to grow old. Sorry I have not loved his people as I should. Sorry that I have allowed my heart to become bitter. Lord, take me back. Bring me back. Will you repent with godly sorrow and seek the Lord? As we read in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, now is the day of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before you and thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has worked in our lives and brought us to a place of repentance. We thank you, our God, that we also know that it is a place of forgiveness and that our strength is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to abide in his strength as we face this new year for Christ the Savior's sake. Amen.